First Five friend. Today we find ourselves in the second week of our Don't Let Go study, and Denise Pass joins us today. Denise, so thankful to have you back with us as we travel through the books of the Minor Prophets. But today you take us on a deep dive into a single book in the verse of Joel. And so I think what you have to say is going to be a blessing and encouragement to so many, even to you and me.
Wendy, I'm so grateful to be here with you and with our First Five community again. This week's passage in Joel has really challenged me, and not in a comfortable way. Because if I'm honest, I don't like to be alarmed or be placed in anxious circumstances, and I find myself in one right now. I don't like alarms in general, not just the ones on my phone that interrupt my rest or those annoying alarms that jar you out of your sleep, but the alarming moments in life that produce unrest and wreck me. I don't like the seasons in life where I sense danger is imminent and things feel unstable. Joel 2 verse 1 opens with a frightful warning. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. This teaching I want to share with you from Joel 2 verse 1 today is called, Don't Be Alarmed. And it is a challenging message to deliver because honestly, I can become alarmed when life is uncertain or scary, apart from the grace of God. This scripture is a reality check. We will all face alarming moments. There's no way around it. And sometimes God sends or allows them to come our way. And I don't like that. It's not a feel-good moment, right? But the human experience is an anxious one. It is not a matter of whether or not we will experience anxiety in this life, but rather how will we experience it? Will we walk with God through it? A few months back, I was really anxious about a situation and was begging God to deal with it. Of course, I wanted him to deal with it my way, fix the problem, stop the pain and the fear, but he spoke two words to me. Don't panic. I was feeling on edge, and those two words felt impossible to live out. Sometimes I think we can hear the Bible telling us not to be anxious about anything or not to panic or fear, and it doesn't feel realistic. I can struggle to believe it is possible. But in that moment, I suddenly felt this peace fall over me, like scales of unbelief falling from my heart. And I realized that God wouldn't tell me to do something if he would not also give me the grace to do it. God had the authority to tell me not to panic, and I took him at his word in that moment. What seemed ridiculous a few minutes prior became a moment of complete peace, as real as the panic I had just felt. So in our reading this week, Joel's writing to an audience that felt alarmed and sensed an attack was imminent. God's judgment was headed their way unless they repented. God's judgment was not merely punitive. God was warning his people to bring them back to himself. We still need his correction and need to repent today, by the way. But his correction is from a heart of love. And sometimes those hard places are not always an indication of God's judgment either. In the most anxious moments, we can feel overwhelmed and afraid, but God speaks into our anxious moments. Don't be alarmed. Trust me. What strikes me in this verse too is that this alarm isn't coming from the enemy. It's coming from God himself. God wanted his people to be ready for his return. He did not want them caught off guard. The alarm was actually an invitation to return to him and to choose to fear him rather than other fears. The fear of God dispels all the fears that induce anxiety in this fear-laced world, which means that the alarm is not rejection from God. God was not pushing his people away. It's actually God calling them back. And I think this is where we can really misunderstand God. Because when something in our life gets shaken, we can struggle to understand the heart of God and what God is doing. But his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when we sense conviction from God, that conviction is God's grace, pulling us away from sin that harms us. And when we walk through hard places, we can also misinterpret hard places as his judgment. But Joel shows us something interesting here. God sounds the alarm because he is still engaged. He is still watching over his people. He hasn't forgotten us in our anxious moments either. He pursues us in those moments. Will we trust him or allow anxious, alarming times in our lives to pull us away from the only one who can help us to navigate such times with peace? Even those times when we have rebelled against God, his desire is for us to come back to him. Wendy, I think one of the hardest things for me personally is recognizing God's alarm as mercy in the moment, because it rarely feels like mercy at first. I don't like feeling scared, and if I had it my way, I would want God to always make things comfortable or peaceful. But what if the disruption is actually protection? And what if the alarm sounding in our lives is to wake us up out of a lukewarm existence? Sometimes we can become apathetic and we need an alarm to wake us up. Because here's what's happening in Joel 2. There's a very real crisis. A locust invasion had occurred in Joel 1, which devastated everything. God allowed it. He actually sent it. And in Joel 2, a warning is sounded about the day of the Lord, judgment coming to God's people. But this judgment had the purpose of saving them from themselves. The physical crisis is pointing to something deeper, a spiritual drift. And in his mercy, instead of letting his people keep drifting, God interrupts with a warning, an alarm to wake them up. I think if our lives had no stress, we would not seek him as fervently as when we encounter such times. And I've been thinking about this in my own life. Those times of testing become a testimony. Wendy, how have alarming times become places of healing and trust in God instead of alarm for you?
You know, when I had a year-long bout with anxiety, like I'm talking extreme anxiety several years ago, it just paralyzed my life. I wouldn't leave my house. I couldn't sleep. I found myself in such a dark and lonely place, and alarms were going off all around me, mostly because I was terrified I would never live a normal life again. And then I immersed myself in God's word in a way I'd never had before. I just dove deeply into the topics of rest and prayer because that's what I longed for, because I just didn't know how to pray anymore. And through that year, God birthed a book that came out, and that book that came out was like almost like this beautiful example, this testimony of what God can do in alarming times. I became this living example of what my life verse through that was, which was Psalm 41:3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the muck and the mire. He set my feet upon a rock, gave me a firm place to stand, put a new song in my heart, a hymn of praise to my God, so many will see and fear and put their trust in him. And when we pay attention to those alarms, when we commit to still our souls, to sit before him, like you're talking about, to hear and learn from him, he will show up. He will begin to work in a way that one day will allow us to be then a living, breathing testimony to someone else, so they too can find hope and healing.
What you said, pay attention to those alarms. You know, we try to silence them. And when I look back over the landscape of my life, all the alarming times when I was tempted to doubt God's goodness and wondered if he would rescue me, I can now see that those hard places actually were my rescue. I never wanted to go through a miscarriage. In fact, I made a deal with God. Don't ever let me go through that. And yet I never felt more loved by him in that moment. God was with me. Over and over again in scripture, when God's people are facing stressful circumstances, God says not to fear, because he's with us. The prophet Isaiah reminds God's people this command not to give in to fear in Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We don't have to be afraid because our rescue does not depend on us. That's a huge sigh of relief. A few verses later, Isaiah says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." Isaiah 41:13. Suffering doesn't make sense to us, but no suffering we encounter is ever wasted. The things I never wanted to go through in my life, which were terrifying, have become sweet testimonies of his grace. And I realized I never wanted to imagine the future, any alarming circumstance or hardship apart from his grace. I'm honestly still a scaredy cat at heart, but all my attempts to keep myself safe in this life were a lack of faith that God could. It is not avoiding alarming times that leads to peace. It is walking through them with Jesus. He is our refuge. And the question is, can we trust God when things are alarming? And can we heed his alarm and his calm? Perhaps things would not be so alarming if we knew the heart of God. In Joel 2, the alarm is not the end of the story, and the alarms in our lives are not the end of the story either. Just a few verses later, we see the heart of God. In Joel 2, verses 12 through 13, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." So this alarm in Joel 2, 1 is actually an invitation. He's inviting us to come to him when we are afraid and to choose his peace over the world's fear. Can we dare to trust him and believe he's enough for everything we face in this life? We can, by his grace, choose to walk in the spirit instead of the flesh and radically choose not to be alarmed when everything else is screaming. God can help us to see higher than what we see with our eyes. You know, I wonder if someone listening today has been experiencing an alarm in your life. And you're wondering if God sees you, and you wonder if you can survive it. That alarm could be a wake-up call to pull you back to him. Or it could just be an alarming circumstance from living in a fallen world. It might be a pattern of sin that God is revealing, or a relationship that feels unsettled. Maybe even a conviction you can't shake, or restlessness you can't explain. And instead of leaning in, you've been trying to silence the alarm and find peace by coping rather than hoping in God to handle it. One thing I've learned at such times is not to silence the alarms in your own strength, because the alarm you're hearing might actually be evidence of his love for you. I've had moments like this recently where God brought something to my attention that I genuinely didn't see before. But as I sat with him, I realized he wasn't condemning me. He was inviting me closer. Condemnation pushes away and conviction draws us in. So friend, when God sounds the alarm, the question isn't, why is this happening to me? But God, what are you inviting me into? Because the goal is not fear, the goal is restoration. And that's why Joel says in Joel 2:25 that God will restore what was lost. Because the same God who sounds the alarm is the same God who rebuilds. He is our Redeemer. In closing, is there an area of your life where God is trying to get your attention? Not to shame you, but to restore you. Don't let yourself become alarmed. What would it look like to stop hitting snooze and start listening, knowing God is sovereign over every aspect of our lives? Don't let hard places keep you from your God, who is your rescue. Instead of asking God to quiet the alarm, ask him to clarify it. What alarm is God sounding in your life? Questions like, Lord, what are you showing me? Where are you calling me back to? What would it look like to respond in obedience? Because friend, God's alarms are not signs that he is done with you. They are evidence that he is still calling you. Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. God is with you, and that is really good news.
Oh, Denise, such a such an important and well done teaching, much needed in this day and time where anxiety seems an emotion that many believers, especially women, wrestle with. And I really am connected with what you said at the beginning. It's not a matter of whether or not we experience anxiety in this life, but rather how we will experience it. So, Father, thank you that you are our peace. Thank you that the only place we find our peace is in you, for your word that says the peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your word that says from Philippians 4, the end of 5 to 6 and 7, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, so that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray you would bring those words alive in our friends' hearts today, that Hebrews 4:12, living and active word, would come alive and your peace would go and fill them in this moment, Lord, from the top of their head to the tips of their toes in tangible ways, that they will know that they will know that they will know you are with them, Lord, and that you walk with them every day and you are our hope. And the feelings that we have now don't last forever. So Father, I pray each woman would hear your voice. They would open your word. You would lead them to where they need to be to receive your manna for their soul. Lord, bring them peace and comfort and assurance that your eyes are still upon them and you will never leave them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.